Stock prices, currencies, and government bonds gyrate sharply across the world as markets begin to digest the Donald Trump victory. From Marketplace in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with special coverage this morning of market reaction to the election results. Stock index futures took a dive toward their preset limits overnight, the market circuit breakers, as the narrative emerged that Donald Trump was winning. The S&P 500 futures traded in Chicago fell 5%, with the Dow future not far behind. But as the night wore on, the declines moderated some, both here and abroad. Right now, the Dow future is down 296 points, 1.6%. The S&P future is down 1.7%. The Nasdaq future down 2%. Joining us here in the New York Bureau this morning is Chris Lowe, chief economist at FTN Financial in New York. Good morning to you.
Good to see you, David.
So it was worse earlier. Dow and S&P futures were down near the limit, 5% down almost, once the writing on the wall was clear about the Trump victory. But why do you think the volatility now might be moderating?
It's that, my goodness, you know, we sold off 9 days in a row. We had a little rally back in front of the election, but it wasn't much. We were down huge this morning. And I don't think the forecast, you know, it was so cut and dried. If Clinton wins, we're up 5%. If Trump wins, we're down 5%. It's not that simple. There's moving parts all over the place, including interest rates and currencies and so on. And already there's also the possibility of, hey, you know, some companies are going to benefit from a Trump presidency.
You spent a lot of time with bond traders. I was surprised to see the yield on the 10-year government note soaring this morning. I would have thought with the flight to safety, it would have come down, but what do I know?
I think it's the moving parts, in particular when you see people selling the dollar and buying other currencies. You remember, those dollars weren't sitting in a bank somewhere. They were invested. I wouldn't be surprised if some of that selling was China. They have $3 trillion invested in foreign currency, most of it in treasuries. There's a lot of uncertainty there.
Now, what about the possibility in the U.S. of that interest rate hike engineered by the Federal Reserve, perhaps in a couple weeks?
So the way they're going to play it is this. The data in the U.S. support a rate hike. A rate hike is probably the right thing to do at this point. But if the markets are still in turmoil like this, they will not raise rates in December. They are level-headed. They've proven it over the last 2 years. They are extraordinarily patient, and they will be patient this time too.
Chris Lowe at FTN Financial, the chief economist there. Chris, thank you.
Thank you, David.
The 10-year Treasury yield is up at 1.94%. The Mexican currency, the peso, dropped 13% at one point overnight, and it's down 8% now. This motivated by a concern about protectionism in the new administration. It cost nearly 20 pesos to buy a U.S. dollar, close to its lowest ever against the dollar. This morning, we've been exploring the implications of a Trump presidency for trade policy and health care policy. Marketplace's education correspondent, Amy Scott, now on that.
Trump has proposed a $20 billion school choice plan that would allow low-income families to send their kids to the school of their choice, including private schools. Of course, school choice is popular with Republicans, and with the Republican Party maintaining control of Congress, that plan could get some traction. Donald Trump also has a child care plan allowing families earning less than $500,000 a year to deduct the average cost of child care from their taxable income. On higher ed, he's said he wants the federal government to get out of the student loan business and bring private lenders back into the student aid program, expand income-based repayment on student loans, and end the tax-exempt status for colleges with large endowments if they don't spend more of their money on students and reducing tuition.
Amy, thank you. Insight now from Felicia Wong, president and CEO of the Roosevelt Institute, a progressive nonpartisan think tank. Ms. Wong, thanks for joining us.
Of course.
All right. We could talk about many reasons for this outcome, but clearly the economy is at the center of this.
I think it's important to take away from last night's results that the financial crisis never really ended for millions of Americans, tens of millions of Americans in key states. And so they voted that way last night because they want to change what they have been living through. And I think this has been compounded by job loss that people attribute to trade and globalization and technological change. So we're going to see a lot of analysis about race and gender, and these are obviously front and center. But we can't forget that many people are living through a very, very painful structural change in the economy.
Yeah, structural change that's ongoing, not just trade and jobs going overseas, but as you point out, technological change, robots doing a lot of our work. So what kind of economic policy is then coming? It must be, we would say, conservative.
Well, no, I'm not sure about that. I think it's clear that last night's result was not about classic conservatism. You know, the party of Reagan no longer exists. This was not about Reagan trickle-down. You did not see that from either candidate. So I think what you really saw last night was a kind of almost an ironic anti-elite vote, given who Donald Trump is, but it was an anti-elite vote. I think that we know that people are still concerned about big companies, about monopolies, about big banks, and everything that animated the policy that did break through in this election. We at Roosevelt have been making a very strong argument that we need to rewrite the rules of the American economy, and I think that's as true today as it was yesterday.
Felicia Wong is president and CEO of the nonpartisan Roosevelt Institute. Ms. Wong, thank you.
Thank you, David.
And I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.